Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And in Titus chapter 3, we will pick up a little tonight at verse number 8. Titus 3 and verse number 8. Bible says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Thank you, Father, for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, guide us, and edify us tonight. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name, precious Father. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. So, Paul tells Titus in chapter 3, verse 8, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. Well, what is that he's talking about when he says this is a faithful saying? Well, look back up at verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. You know, the word faithful means something that's true, worthy of belief. These statements are faithful. They are foundational ground to stand and build upon. Isn't it interesting that notice here in chapter by verses 4 through 7, Paul speaks to Timothy about the kindness and love of God manifested in Jesus Christ, his mercy in saving us, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He speaks of salvation. And then he goes on in verse 8, to speak of good works. Well, lo and behold, that's the pattern that Paul speaks of earlier. And in fact, that's what he speaks of to in his letter to the Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, again, what did he, in Titus, in chapter 3, he had just spoken of God's mercy, God's grace in Jesus Christ, his salvation, regeneration, the new birth. Then he speaks of good works. Well, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And now look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's a pattern that you see. That you see in New Testament Christianity is salvation in Jesus Christ, God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ, then God has saved us unto good works. Good works. Not saved by good works, saved unto good works. That God would have us to manifest good works in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So in Titus 3 verse 8, Paul says to Titus, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Well, what things? Well, go back to Titus 2. Look at verse 15. In Titus 2, verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, what did Paul just speak? What things had he just been speaking of? Well, the things of chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which becomes sound doctrine. And then he speaks of how aged men are to be. He speaks of how aged women are to be. He speaks of how servants are to be. So those things that Paul has just went over in chapter 2. You know, look at verse 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So now in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, I will, these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So those things that Paul had just went over with Timothy, about how Titus, how Titus was to behave, how young men were to behave, how young women and older men and older women and servants. He says, Titus, I will that these things thou affirm constantly. Paul admonished Titus to affirm these things constantly. Well, the word affirm means to tell with confidence, to maintain as true, to establish. Constantly means firmly, steadily, continually. Brethren, the right things need to be reemphasized. Because, brethren, look here. Please don't ever get weary of some of the things that as we go through Scripture are constantly, we go perhaps over and over. Because, brethren, your pastor will have time on Sunday and Wednesday to try to take and counterbalance what this world is throwing at you all during the rest of the week, with all kinds of media coming at you, saying things that are contrary to what that book says. So that's coming in constantly. And brethren, we kid ourselves if we don't think that it don't have an effect on us. Brethren, what you expose yourself to and are exposed to, little by little, you know what the devil's counting on? It is wear you down. As the water wears the rocks, drop, 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 just steady, steady, and eroding it. And that's the thing. When this stuff drones on and drones on and drones on, that's why God bless you, you folks that are taking and trying to do what you can with your kids and trying to, because you know what? You got them there at the house, and I know it gets weird. I know you can pull your hair out sometimes. And I know you want to scream sometimes. And I go, it can get frustrating. But listen, thanks be to God. They're not sitting there getting droned on that they evolved, that there were these millions and billions of years and this, and it drones on to where, you know what? You get to thinking, well, yeah, that's just the way it is. And that's what the enemy's counting on. That gets driven in just drop by drop by drop. So listen, to affirm these right things constantly, we need it. We need it. Brethren, a lot of times, the things that are needed aren't the deepest things in the whole world. They're plain, they're simple, but we need them repeated over and over because of how the battle is, and the devil doesn't change his tactics. He knows how it works, and he sticks with what works, and he just steady there with it. Paul tells Titus to affirm these things constantly. Brethren, truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. And so these things need to be affirmed constantly. Man, brethren, how easy do we find it going through a day? I mean, brethren, it is amazing what we can go through in one day. You can in one day feel like you are ready to charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun. Seriously, you know what I'm saying? Full of the holy boldness. And I'll be, it ain't a little bit later. And you've got your tail between your legs and thinking, Lord, just take me home. What use is there for me to darken your world anymore, this earth here anymore? God, I'm just pathetic. And I'm so glad, brethren, if it wasn't for that book, with examples like Elijah, that man who could be on that mount and see the fire of God fall, that man who could get down and pray, and that little cloud come up, and wind and rain, and he outruns Pharaoh's chariot, and then I'm going to kill you like those other prophets. A woman says it, Jezebel. He's off and running. He says, God, just take me. I'm done. Elijah knows what it's like to hit that mountaintop and then drop to the bottom and get wore out. You ever felt just wore out? You just felt wore out with a fight. You just felt like, Lord, I'm just tired. I don't know if I'm gonna. Elijah felt that. That man, that great man of God is coming back to this earth. He's got a mission in the tribulation time. He's coming back. That great man of God that I believe quite probably is one of those that will be at Christ's right hand. Him and Moses. Those are the two on that mount with him. I believe those are the two it's given to. I think that's probably what it is. Anyway, that great man of God, that true man of God, got so wearied. A woman made him run that he just crawled under that tree and said, Lord, take me. And what the Lord did, he realized, son, you wore out. You wore out. And he let him rest there. And he woke up and had an angel already prepared a little something for him to eat. Cruise of water, cake of meal somewhere baked for him. And he ate. Brethren, he's wore out. What did he do after he ate that? He went to sleep again. The man was beat. And he lay down there. And the Lord said, okay, Elijah. He got the inward man. He got the outward man helped. His body needed rest. His body needed sustenance. But the inward man needs something now. The inward man needs something. But first, he had to get that outward man took care of. Lord, let him get rest. Lord, let him get fed. And then listen, okay, you got a journey, son. You got a journey. And he led him on that journey, just him and God. And he got up there and he was just feeling like, Lord, there ain't nobody left. And God, I'm trying to do. And the Lord spoke to him. It wasn't in the fire. And it wasn't in the wind. And it wasn't in just that still small voice. And Elijah got the inward help that he needed. And he went on to finish up for the Lord. Brethren, look here. Sometimes we get like that. And Lord knows when we're tired. And if you'll follow him, he'll get you the rest when you need it. And he'll get the outward man and the inward man what's needed. And he understands. And it's good in that to see in that book men that went through things like you go through, like I go through. And to see them be real, to see them get, you know, to where they don't feel like a spiritual powerhouse. We look back and we look at a man like Elijah and we're like, wow, man, what a man of God. And he was. But he also got so wearied. He's like, I'm done. I'm no better than my fathers. And just beat like anybody. And we can get like that, brethren. And that's why it is so important that we assemble sometimes to hear, maybe not anything brand new, maybe just something old put in a different way, but the same principle. Because we need it. We need it. And the things we need never really change because the battle doesn't change. And we've seen those things. He told Titus, affirm these things, Titus, constantly, constantly. Look what he says. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. All right. Have you believed in God? Have you believed in God? Isn't that interesting? Look at that statement. That they which have believed in God. Brethren, I knew about God. I guess if you'd asked me, I'd have told you I believed in God, but not in a real and personal way until I got born again. Amen. And I believed in God in truth. Not just a general belief in God. But you know what I did? I went from a mental belief to a heart trust. I went from a mental belief to a heart trust. Brother, some people, they believe in God. They'll fight you over God. I'm serious. Brother, there's some folks, you cuss God or something, they'll punch you in the face. They don't know him. They don't really trust him. But the idea of saying something about God, man, they'll throw down with you about it. But they don't know him. But they don't know him. They don't, in the sense of, they're not trusted in him. They believe about God. And you know what? To them, it's a thing of the old thing of, you know, baseball, God, apple pie, baseball, and mom, and everything, you know, and those kind of sentimental things. But they've not trusted him. Man, when you believe in God in truth, it's a heart trust. It's a heart trust. Because that same crowd that are like that, they will cuss. They will do ungodly things. And they kind of think that just because they believe in God, that that's all okay. Well, the devils believe and tremble. Man, the devils do more than most people that think that they have a kind of respect toward God. They tremble. According to the Bible, they tremble. All right? Well, look here. It's a matter of trust in God. But have you believed in God? repentance toward God. You know, have you ever turned to God? Have you ever turned to God? Have you ever turned away from you and turned to God repentantly? In other words, God, I'm sorry for living my way. God, I'm sorry for being stubborn and self-willed and not caring anything about you. And God, I am choosing to turn to you. And when you do, if you do it in truth, you realize when you turn to him, you approach him through Christ. Through Christ. But it's turning to God. They which believed in God. Paul says, Titus, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Have you believed in God? If you have, then dedicate yourself. Give yourself, dedicate yourself to maintaining good works in his name. In other words, don't start and stop. Don't sputter. Maintain. Do you know, maintaining something is a whole lot easier in the long run than letting it go to pot and trying to start it up again. It is. I don't care if it's your car. I don't care if it's a piece of equipment. I don't care if it's your health. I don't care if it's your fitness. I don't care if it's your weight. I don't care. Listen, it's easier to maintain than to sputter and spatter and start and stop and let it go and try to start up again. We all know that. It just is. Maintaining is hard, but it's easier in the long run. I'll give you a simple illustration. You ever push somebody on a swing? You ever push somebody on a swing? Maintaining it takes a little effort, but it ain't much, is it? Push them on a swing. You know what? Maintaining that thing is just a little. Let it stop. You got to expend more effort. You ever got something big and heavy rolling? It's easier to keep it rolling than it is letting it start and start again. Let it start and stop again. Overcoming that inertia. But that principle is in so many things in life. It says maintain. There's going to be effort. But there's less effort in maintaining than it is starting and stopping, starting and stopping, starting and stopping. Okay? And so maintain good works. Don't let them sputter and spitter about. Okay? Look here. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Good works. Boils all kind of things. You have something that you can do to honor the Lord and be a blessing to somebody. Everybody in this room does. Sometimes writing a letter, as the Lord will direct, can do wonders for somebody. Sometimes just something that you have an ability to make or to do and trying to be a blessing to them or trying to give somebody, cut them a break or relieve some. I mean, there's all kind of ways, things you can do for the brethren and the lost. There's good works that can be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to consume ourselves with us. You know, even the lost world understands that a life lived outside of itself for others brings a peace and a joy that a self-centered life doesn't. Even the lost understand that. The problem of it is, see, here's the problem. Did you know that only in this life, if a person was lost, if they weren't saved, and only in this life, if they got out of their self and did things for others, they would have more peace, more contentment, more settledness than a person who didn't. The problem is, if they don't do it for the Lord, nothing in eternity, though. Now, it will profit in this life. Even lost, getting outside of yourself will profit you. But if it's not done for Christ, if it's not done in the power of the Holy Ghost, there'll be nothing in eternity. You know, because the person's not saved. But even unselfishness, even lost, will profit you in this life. There's just something about it. There's just a misery, whether saved or lost, with being concerned about you. There's just something about getting outside of yourself that is just healthful, good, It'll do wonders for you. All right? Living outside of yourself. But if you're saved, then you're going to reap that profit and more, because you're going to reap in eternity. Look at Matthew 26, verse 6. In other words, how many people are there that get up and their whole day consists of the miserable condition they're in? Be it my health, be it my whatever, my miserable, just, you know, if you concentrate on that, you're just going to wallow. It's just going to compound. But you know, the person that gets up and says, you know what? What can I do for somebody? And just get out of me. Even if they're not saved. They've got out of their self. Have you ever had a pain and you found out as you did something else, it didn't hurt? I think we all have. You've had a pain, you start getting your mind off of it, and it doesn't hurt. It didn't hurt. Maybe later on it comes back, but it's like, wow, that wouldn't hurt, because you weren't thinking about it. Well, that thing works in a lot of ways. To think on how miserable you are or what bothers you in any kind of way, that'll just make it worse. But to get out of yourself. But when you do it for Christ, Lord, how can I bring honor and glory to you today by good works? What good works can I do in your name that'll be a blessing to someone, that'll have eternal benefit? You'd be amazed at what it'll do for you in a lot of ways. All right, look here, Matthew 26, verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head and as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said to them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. So she did a good work. Here's an example. Here's an example of a good work. What was it? It was a sacrificial substance and effort bestowed upon someone else. It was sacrificial. Because the Bible says an alabaster box of very precious ointment. In fact, I believe in one of the Gospels it maybe mentions it being sold for 300 pence. That could be like the wages of a year or something like that. I mean, it was up there. It was up there. So that was expensive. It was no doubt sacrificial. It was a sacrificial substance. It was a sacrificial effort, because she was misjudged by it. She was misunderstood. But she was willing to do that. And she bestowed it upon someone else. She bestowed it upon our Lord. And what did Jesus say it was? It was a good work. It was sacrificial in substance and in effort. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. It's doing something for somebody else, sacrificially, in substance and in effort. Somebody else. Not doing it with a strategic mindset of like, you know what? This will get me in good. This will kind of be a step on the ladder. This will do. No, it's not done for political effect. It's not done for advantage. It's done with a pure motive from the heart, just to be a blessing. Do you good to do them good. It'll profit in eternity. What's another example? Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 21. Hebrews 13, 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice that good works are involved in doing the Lord's will. You can't separate them. Make you perfect in every good work, there's good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So good works are involved with doing the Lord's will. Doing the Lord's will. They go hand in hand. They'll go hand in hand. You do the will of the Lord, it's going to be a good work. You can count on that. All right? It won't go against his word. It won't violate a principle of Scripture. Good works and the Lord's will go together. Go to Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, look at verse 36. Acts 9, 36. And let me tell you something, y'all. It ain't the bigness of something. It's not. It's heart. It's heart. Well, listen, I've had little notes and drawings from youngins that I have kept and have just meant the world to me, and just timely, man, timely. Sometimes, you know, Jesus spoke about, you know, how the mouths of babes and sucklings are, but sometimes it'd be just what you need to keep you going. Seriously. Sometimes from a child. I'm serious. Just a little note, a little drawing. John Leckie one time. You awake, ain't you, John? Yeah, make sure. John one time came up to me and drew me a picture. I said, John, thank you. I said, I got a place. I try to keep stuff like that. I got a special place. I do. I try to keep stuff like that at John. So look here. So Matt and John stopped over about earlier that week. I said, John, I mentioned something about it. I said, yeah, that thing you gave me, where's it at? And I'm like, man, I didn't leave it at church, did I? You know, because I put it in my bag. Right here. And I had it right there. And I thought, son, that's good, man. Boy, that's put up or shut up. But amen, brother. Just telling you that, you know what? Old young a lot of times, what they do? Well, they just do it. They're just trying to. It's just as real, just as spontaneous, just as. A lot of times we lose that. We lose that. And it's precious. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the ways you can be a help to somebody, let me tell you something. You'd be surprised what lies within you to be a help to people. You say, well, I don't have a lot. The things that matter sometimes, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. Some people need help on the inward man just to go one more step. Just that appreciation, just that. Seriously. Acts 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. Brethren, people will accuse us of being full of a lot of things, won't they? In this life, for sure. You can definitely be assured. Sometimes people will say you're full of all kinds of things. But rather, would to God that people could say, you know what? They're full of good works. Yep, he's full of something. But she was full of good works. The Bible says, and alms deeds, which she did. Go down to verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Man, there's a woman that did what she could. She could make coats and garments. So she made them for the widows. And she just tried to do something that she could. That's a blessing. They were weeping about her. Just what a blessing she was. And you know what? She comes back to life. God allows a miracle to be wrought and she comes back to life. It's a good woman. She benefited people. She was full of good works and alms deeds. Go to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 10. 1 Timothy 5, verse 10. Well reported of for good works, if she had brought up children. Let me tell you some ladies, bringing up children. This is talking about a woman here. It's talking about a woman. Bringing up children is a good work. Bringing up children is a good work. So I don't do anything. Well, according to that book, one of the things that qualifies as a good work, bringing up children. If she have lodged strangers. In other words, being hospitable. That her home is a welcome place. If she have washed the saints' feet. Wow. That's humility. Trying to be a good hostess. Trying to go out of her way. If she have relieved the afflicted. In other words, finding somebody that's needing help or down. Doing what she can to relieve their condition. If she have diligently followed every good work. You know, one thing I appreciate about my mama, I mean, she's She'll be 85 this year. And I was talking to her the other day. My dad can't get around. He can't get up. But she can still drive somewhere getting around. And she's always saying, Jonathan, it's been such a long time since I went to go see so-and-so. And she really shouldn't be, but she wants to be able to do that. And she'll go around and see different people. She said the other day, she called one of the ladies in the neighborhood. She said, I've not been able to see her in a long time. And this lady, she's a double amputee. I guess maybe it was she had diabetes. And somebody comes and checks on her, and she was telling my mama, yeah, I get along pretty good. I'll drag myself around and do this or that around the house, and I'll just, Some of them folks, I'm telling you, just had a spirit to them that instead of giving in to like, oh, whoa, it's like, well, I'm able to get around. I'll get myself here and there. I'll kind of get myself where I need to be, and I'll get stuff. You know, she said, somebody come, my daughter or somebody, they come on and get the things I can't do and helps it for me. I get along pretty, you know. Oh, brethren. Count your many blessings, name them one by one.
Amen.
Brethren, we may have some things that irritate us. Glory to God, you can get on your two feet and go. You ain't got to be pull yourself around and along and do. Glory to God, brethren. I'm serious. A lot to be thankful for. Well, what I'm saying is, I remember my mama, and she does it now whenever she can. If she finds somebody sick, it'll be something she's going to make. You know, going to try to get to them, going to try to take and get to them. That's just the way it used to be. It's the way it was done. You know, you just try to, you think of somebody else. You think of what you can do. And brethren, it's all those things. List there the good works, the good works. Go to 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. Because we're saved and done in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And communicate in the dictionary means ministering to the needs of someone, helping to relieve what you can relieve, communicate to their need. All right, go to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. I want you to notice this right here. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, where they speak against you as evildoers. And by the way, you know they're going to do that, right? You know the best way you can shut somebody's mouth? Good works. Good works done in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, there are people out there whose attitudes toward Christians today, they just go, look, if you go somewhere and just hold a Bible up, they will just about spit on you, or they won't listen to words you say. Brethren, you could be holding the Bible up saying this book's not true. All they know is there's a Bible and you've opened your mouth, and son, they will let loose. All right? And so they're just full of stuff. You know how you shut people's mouth like that? Good works. Seriously, good works in the name of Jesus Christ. Every answer you can give back, that's not going to do it. It's going to take, it's humility. It's the attitude you have. Humility and good works are what does it. That whereas they speak evil against you as evil, speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. All right, did you see that thing? Which they shall behold? Okay, go to Matthew 5. Because I'm going to give you something that a lot of saints are mistaken about. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ah, listen to me tonight, if you don't get nothing else. Brethren, don't hide your good works. Just don't do them to be seen of men. Don't let that be your purpose. Brethren, don't try to hide things. You say, well, else, what about not letting your right hand? Jesus is speaking in a rhetorical manner. Because you know you can't hide from your right hand what your left hand does. And be honest, your right hand don't care what your left hand does. He's speaking, saying, don't do these things for the purpose of being seen. But don't go out of your way to hide what you do. Number one, sometimes that makes it more obvious. Brethren, I've seen people work so hard to hide what they're doing that it became obvious more than they meant it to. Just be normal. But also, I'll lose my reward. No, you won't. You will only lose reward if the purpose was for to be seen and to get glory to you. Do you understand that? You're not losing reward if someone sees your good works. Jesus said, let people see them. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you? No, your Father. If people can't see your good works, God don't get glory. The key is, what's your motive? Why are you doing it? If you're trying to get people to see it, forget it. You got your reward. But if you're doing it for God's glory and you're just doing it, not worrying who sees or don't see, you're just doing it unto the Lord. Amen. The right motive will get seen and God gets glory. You understand? Oh, listen. Do a right deed. Don't go and hide in somebody's bushes trying to drop off something for them. You know, you'll probably get shot as an intruder. You know, wouldn't that be something? I was trying to deliver soup and I got shot. No, just go to the door, man. Oh, they've got company. Drop off the soup. Well, people will see me. Well, good. Let God get some glory. What do you mean? Did it ever get through the old noodle that somebody might say, wow, man, that's a blessing that people would treat you like that and take care of you. Think about it. Do you ever think there might be somebody there not saved? And I'm like, who brought that to you? Oh, the sister and Lord. Are you serious? Yeah. Wow. That's pretty good. God gets some glory out of that thing. People get, you understand? You understand what I'm saying? That's fine. Now listen, let's suppose you were sitting somewhere that evening. Yes, this afternoon, when I took soup over to Sister So-and-So. I like to do that, you know, for people when they're... Oh, you got your reward right there. There you go. See, that's the intent of the motive coming out. If you're doing it for the glory of God, don't worry about if people see it. You're not losing anything. In fact, God can get glory from that if your motive and your intent is right. All right? That's the key. Now, listen. Did you know something? Did you know the phrase? This is fascinating. The phrase, good works, is not found one time, to the best of my knowledge. I checked it out. It's not found one time in the Old Testament. The phrase good work is only found one time in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, and it has to do with building the temple. One time, the phrase good work, and it has to do with building the temple. Good works is not found any time in the Old Testament. But you'll find it all over in the New Testament. Because you know what? Once you're saved, look, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. Man, once you get born again, you can have some good work. We're created unto good works now that we're saved. All right? Look here, go back to Titus 3 a minute. Titus 3. Titus 3. Titus 3. And look at verse... In fact, brother, look here. Let's suppose that you wanted to do something, but you didn't want people to know you did it, so you get somebody else to do it for you. Well, what if then they were afraid that they would look like they're going to credit and they try to get somebody else to do it for them? Brother, this thing could get kind of wild. The soup would get cold. It could go bad by then. In other words, the key is what's your motive. All right, look here. Titus 3, verse number 8 again. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou art from constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Brethren, you want to do something that's profitable. And you know what is always in season? You know what's always profitable? Good works. After you're saved, because you're saved, good works done in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, that's always in season. And it's always profitable. Look here. You can't go wrong with these things. These things produce eternal, everlasting profit. They profit others now. they profit you in eternity. Think about that. Think about that. True good works profit other people now. They profit you later on. Think about it. You see, listen. If you want to profit in eternity, then profit God and others now in the name of Jesus. So you know what we tend to do? Think about it. Listen to me. Our flesh says, me, 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 me. And when we center on pleasing ourselves, okay, then we don't benefit others and we miss out in eternal reward. If we concentrate on good works, then we profit others now. And you know when we reap the profit? In eternity. Oh, you reap some of it now. Because you're getting out of yourself and not concentrating on you, you'll feel better. There'll be less stress upon you. You'll feel light. But you really profit in eternity. The key is maintaining them. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. It don't have nothing to do with what you have. It's the heart. It's about that old mountain woman they said one time. Somebody came to her, a relief project, and they came to her to help her out. And they said they were going to give her, you know, they was going to come give like some canned goods and things like that. And they said, Miss So-and-so, we'd like to know what would you do if you had, you know, some canned peaches and some canned this and canned that and a bunch of stuff. She said, ooh. She said, well, I think I'd try to find somebody who needs it and get it to them. Isn't that something? Right there was the whole heart right there. That was the whole key. The whole thing was where that heart was at. I was thinking of, well, what can I do for somebody? I mean, what can I, amen. That's just it. She may not have a lot, but she's like the church at Smyrna. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. Versus Laodicea. You know, that's the thing. Brethren, every one of us in this room have ways that we can be a blessing to others with good works. You know what it's a matter of? It's kind of like the way Elisha told that woman, "What hast thou? Go and see. Take stock. What do you have? What do you have as far as okay? Maybe some people have financially ways that they can help others. Other people have abilities. Other people. I mean, what do you have? What do you have that you can be a blessing to others and you can manifest good works in the name of Jesus for others? Take stock." And it's, Lord, how can I use what I got for you? Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. That's that maintaining part. Because you know what? It can get weary. Your brethren can sneak up on you in no time. Because you know what? Brethren, now look. There's liable to be somebody here tonight. You know what you're liable to do? And I'm not cutting you down. Not one bit. I'm just telling the way how things go. God help us all. Been there. There's liable to be somebody here tonight. And you're liable to hear this. Maybe the Lord speak to your heart. And you're going to come out of here, I mean, like gangbusters. Like, boy, you know what? Amen. That's right. I need to. Lord, I'm excited. I want to take stock. I want to pray and do some just good works in the name of Jesus. That's what it ought to be about. And you'll have some enthusiasm. And you might start off pretty good. But then it's going to get a little cramped every now and then. It's going to get a little bit not convenient every now and then. And what's wrong with people that can't say thank you? Man. Just take it for granted? Huh. I'll be. I'm alive. You get used to it, I guess. You start to get weary. Start to get weary. You know why does he say that? Because it's easy to get weary. Things start to get a little inconvenient. Things start to, where it cramps up on us a little bit. People may take it for granted. They might not take it for anything. They might not say thank you. They may not appreciate it. And then you're going to find out where things are really at. All right? And it can be easy to let that enthusiasm kind of goes, and it's kind of like, I'm not motivated now. Well, then look here. Was it a right thing? You believe God was in it? Well, continue on with it then. Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Elijah was just about to faint. He's wore out. Sometimes you got to pull aside and let God just renew you. Let God renew you. Let God help you. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. God's got a way bigger view on things than you and I do. He knows where there are needs at. He knows where there are people and ways and situations that we can be a blessing to, that we can manifest good works to in His name. Ask Him, Lord, who, where, and how? What can I do? How can I be a blessing? There's a song. Make me a blessing to someone. Make me a blessing to someone. Oh, amen. That's good. And you know something? In blessing others, you get a blessing yourself. And you reap in eternity. Everybody's got something to do. Lord, here am I. Here are my abilities. Here's my whatever. Lord, here's my time. Here's my what. Lord, show me. Who can I be a blessing to, and how can I do it? And Lord, you just manifest it to me, and you show me. And understand, you're going to get weary. The enthusiasm will wane, and you will get weary. And you're going to have to, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. At that time, you're going to need to wait upon the Lord. Let Him renew you. Let Him strengthen you to keep the thing up. And don't faint. And you will reap in due time. Over there. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us, Holy Father. Help us, Holy, Holy Father. Help us, Lord, too. Lord, you definitely set the example. You gave your Son. Lord, you're giving to us. Father, help us, dear God, to learn to, Lord, get out of ourselves, and Lord, allow you to work through us to manifest good works in your name to all men. May we have a heart and an eye towards such things. And may we not be weary in well-doing, but purpose ourselves to good works and to maintain them. Because something is always easier to be maintained than to start and stop, start and stop. And Father, we thank you and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.